Hello, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Pretty Lonesome. I am fresh out of Coachella this episode, and I'm not fucking kidding you when I tell you I just got off the plane. Well, what time did I land and what time is it now? I landed at about 11. It is currently 2:43. I just got back from the airport, put on some makeup, and now we're in the car to talk some shit because I couldn't hold it in any longer. Okay, I haven't... Basically, I went from Coachella, which is in Palm Springs, and I flew back to LA, and I slept there for one night before my flight back to London. And the morning of the day I flew back to London, I had scheduled a gossip session, okay? I had scheduled to go to Pilates with a couple of my friends and debrief fucking Coachella. Did they know that was the intention of the Pilates session? No, but I think it was insinuated, okay? And also, my Pilates instructor, I'm fucking obsessed with her, and I know she was waiting. I know that she was waiting for the girlies to come back from Coachella and be like, guess the fuck what happened, okay? I know that was... I know it! And I woke up the morning of the Pilates session, and I thought, if I get out of bed right now, I'm genuinely at a health risk. I don't know what's going to happen to me if I get out of this bed right now, but it is not going to be fucking good. And so I text and I was like, guys, I'm not fucking making it. And I think that was the right decision. And I got an extra 3 hours of sleep and then I flew home. And now I'm here, okay? And it's the same day, but it's not the same day. And I'm very confused about everything. So let me give you the fucking Coachella rundown, okay? Also, it's boiling hot in this car. What the fuck is going on in England? It's like, I don't even know that I'm not in LA right now. The weather is so good. But would you guess it? The sky is still grey. Oh yeah, that never fucking changes, does it? I forgot about that. I am going to be in the UK for about a month and a half. I'm not legally allowed to leave because I'm applying for a visa to the US. Actually, that's a lie. I'm going to Marseille in France. I hope I'm saying Marseille right. I think I am. At the end of the month, and then I'm applying for my visa, and then I'm grounded to the UK because they're going to take my passport from me. Anyway, that's a story for another time, okay? But basically, I am home for a little bit. Like, I'm properly going to be in the UK. I got rid of my flat in London, so that's a nightmare. I'm living with my mum for a month and a half, and as much as I love my mum and I genuinely love being at home, I think that's going to be an interesting experience for the both of us. Experience. Anyways, let's talk about fucking Coachella, okay? Because as we know, I've never been. And not only have I never before, other than right now, been to Coachella, I have never, and I can't believe that I'm still able to say this, I've never, like, fully met another influencer. Isn't that crazy? Okay, so obviously I know Alex L, and we're signed to the same network, and so I speak to her, and we hang out, and I adore that girl. And I obviously know Harry, and I know Alex Cooper. When I tell you that is my roster, that is my roster, okay? I stay so far away from the influencer scene, and not because I'm snubbing on it. I'm really not. I think that I respect what everybody does, and a grind is a grind, a hustle is a hustle. I do the same shit. I really don't care. But I just don't find myself in those spaces ever. I don't seek it out, and I don't find myself there. Because the UK is very much, there's none of it. Like, there's maybe influencers in the UK, but like, it's not as rife. Like, I was talking to someone at this after party at Coachella, and she was like, what is like Glastonbury like? Like, what are the after parties like? And I was like, look, there are after parties, but like, there's no guest compound. Do you know what I mean? There's no content houses at fucking Glastonbury. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to an after party at Glastonbury, either you're still at the festival and it's like some random party, or you seriously knew someone. You know what I mean? Like, it's like an artist is having an after party and it's like not everybody is invited. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just such a different culture here. And so I never find myself in these spaces where it's just like, oh my God, look, I still have my fucking wristbands on. How gross is that? These are carrying brand new illnesses that were just created this weekend, I reckon. I could send these to a lab and they'll find something brand new. I was like, it's just so different. And so I never find myself in these spaces. And it's not because I inherently don't want to be in them, although that is also true. I don't. So everything was very new to me. And obviously, okay, I was in LA for like a month and a half, maybe a little bit over that, actually. And I always heard people sort of say like, oh, be careful in LA. You know, people will try and use you. People are this, people are that. It's never... You guys hear it too, I'm sure. You never really get many positive anecdotes from LA. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just hear bad things about most of the people. And so I went into LA very nervous. And then, like, halfway through, I was like, I genuinely haven't seen anyone be nasty. I haven't seen anyone act weird. No one's been weird to me. Everyone's been nothing but nice. I think this whole thing is just a scam. And actually, LA is a great place. And actually, it's just the company that you keep. You know what I mean? And and you can choose who you're around 99% of the time. So I was like, you know what? I'm not even worried about it. This is fine. Then I went to fucking Coachella.
This episode is brought to you by Tinder. Putting yourself out there is great. First dates can be a good time, but you should always put your safety first. When I first started dating, I would always send my best friend my location. I've got some good news, though. Dating is about to get easier and safer thanks to Tinder's safety features. Share My Date is the best way to let your friends know your plans for the night. That way, they know where you are and aren't blowing up your phone when you don't text them back. Noonlight allows you to discreetly call emergency services if you're feeling uneasy or in need of assistance on a date. And Are You Sure, which will prompt you or someone you're chatting with to think twice about sending a potentially offensive or harmful message. Feel confident about dating safely with Tinder. Explore all of the possibilities for yourself on Tinder. It starts with a swipe. Download Tinder today.
And no one was even that crazy to me. Like, no one. Actually, I had like almost no bad experiences with people. But I could read the fucking room. You know what I mean? I could see the vibe. I knew what it was. And I was like, oh, this is what they mean. Because also, like, bear in mind, I don't really, like, I say all the time, oh, I don't have any friends in LA. That is inherently not fully true. Like, I do have friends in LA, and I have met some really good people whilst I've been there for this past month and a half. Like, I've really done what the fuck I needed to do in terms of, like, finding a couple good people and finding, like, that there is people that I resonate with there, so I'm not so worried. But what I'm trying to say is the crazy people that I'm always hearing about that live in LA, I don't hang out with them. Like, I don't know them because I don't want to. But it's like, I saw them in Coachella and I was like, oh shit, you guys are fucking real and this is real. Like, I just, for some reason, I just thought I was immune. I thought that I was immune to the fact that everyone said one specific thing about one place. I was like, no, you are all crazy and I'm correct, because it's usually the way it works. You know what I mean? I'm like, everyone thinks they know things, but they're not me, so they actually don't know anything and I'm right about everything. Turns out I'm not, which is disgusting. Anyways, I really have never met influencers before. And again, it's not the most intentional thing in the world. I just don't live in a place where they are really a thing. Like, or the culture, should I say, isn't really a thing. And even in the places and times where it is a thing, I'm never there. So I'm like very, like, I just was separate from it and it just wasn't, I kind of forgot the way things go. And then I was in rooms that were just like filled with people who do this. And I was like, oh my God, this is fucking insane. Like, this is how you guys work. This is what you do. And like, do I need to change my ways? Like, what is this? And it was just so interesting for me, and not inherently negative or positive, I would say. I would just say it was interesting. Like, I was there fucking observing people. People thought I wasn't looking, I was staring. I was gawking, matter of fact. Yeah, I was. I was in the corner at Coachella with my eyes like this. I'm pretty sure the stress and shock of some of the things that I saw at Coachella has, like, changed the symmetry of my face. You know what I mean? Fucking insane. But I will say, most of the people are really nice. And people that I didn't expect to be nice were nice. But then there were some people that I'm like, I love. And I was like, oh, damn. You're fucking awful. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a mixture. And I always forget that people are real. Like, I watch someone online and I'm like, yeah, you don't exist. And then I see them in real life and it's like, I get fucking whiplash. I'm like, oh shit, you poop? Like, it's crazy to me. I'm like, you actually poop. And you actually, like, got ready for Coachella this morning and, like, now you're here. I don't know why I do that, but I'm always just surprised. So anyways, first day, let's talk about it. We went to only go see one person. And who did we see? Who played the first day? Oh my fucking God, Sabrina Carpenter. She was the opening act. And honestly, after she was done playing, I was like, good to go. I was like, guys, we saw Sabrina. Coachella's done. It was the best set I've ever. And I read an article on it, and I sound like an intellectual when I say that, but I only read it because she reposted it on her story. And I was like, ooh. And it was basically like praising her so much because it was like, we've never seen an act this size come with this much equipment and put on such a performance with the space that they're given at Coachella and whatever. And I was like, that's such a good point. Like, not that I know shit about who's come before her, or, you know, I've never seen an act at Coachella before, but I was like, I could imagine that this is one of the biggest. She brought an entire fucking set. Like, she had Sabrina's Motel. I'm pretty sure that's what it was called. It was such a good set. Also, I'm obsessed with her fucking outfits. I love how she has created such a specific style of herself. Like, you know it's Sabrina Carpenter by the shape of the clothes. And that's like, right. And listen, it's kind of not, because if I put on that outfit, it would just look like any other outfit. But she has a very specific body. And so I feel like the way that clothes sit on her is very you just, it's like she's got her own silhouette, you know what I mean? But it's like the tiny skirts where you are intentionally seeing the like boxer thing underneath, or like the pants underneath, and it's like her ass is always out, but her ass isn't out though. It's like so interesting. And she's just got like a specific shape of dress that she's been wearing a lot, and then a specific type of skirt that she's been wearing a lot on stage. She had like a Coachella themed version of that, and it was just like a little bit like raunchy. Oh my god, I was fucking gagged. What does gagged mean? Actually, matter of fact, because I've been saying it and I'm like, I don't know what it means. But to me it means shocked. But I think it might mean that someone like said something so bad to me about me that I couldn't say anything back. Because then I saw it in that kind of context. And I was like, oh, is that what it means? Because then in that case, I'm not gagged. In my context, I'm gagged. Shut up. Guys, I'm so dissociated right now. Like, I keep looking around. I'm like, shit, I'm in my car. Where am I? I'm at my fucking house. When did I get here? Like, I don't remember. Also, I got on the plane this morning. I was out the entire flight. Like, I don't remember falling asleep. I was so comfortable. And then I woke up and there was like, I don't know, an hour left of the flight. And they served me hot waffles with raspberry sauce and fruit and a cup of tea. Yes, please. Again, please. That was so fucking good. It was so good. I always feel bad. Okay, I don't know if this is a psychological issue, but I always feel bad when I get on a flight and I don't become friends with the flight attendants and I like ignore them the whole time. Why? I don't know. Because like I got on the flight and I was flying business, so obviously I could lay down and just go to sleep. And I did, and that's exactly what I did. I lay down and I went straight to sleep. And then I woke up at the end of the flight and I was like, damn, I don't know any of these flight attendants. Like, I haven't spoken to them at all. And I don't know why. Because usually I like build up a little rapport with them, you know? Like, I like to be friends with them. And they didn't happen this flight, and I feel bad. Pretty sure they didn't care. But I just feel bad. And like, I didn't even like get to know your names or anything. I one time had this flight where it was the flight where I lost my pretty lonesome ring. Oh my god, that was a scary flight. And I obviously called over the what are they called? Stewardess? I feel like that's right. Anyway, I called over the lady and I was like, help, lost my ring. And she was doing so much to help me. And then she was like, okay, I can't find it. At the end, I'm going to call on the engineers to the plane. You stay behind. Don't get off the plane. We're going to find it. And I was like, okay. So everyone gets off the plane. I stay. They call over the engineers, they get on the plane, they're like literally unscrewing the fucking seat looking for my ring, and I felt so bad. I was like, guys, I don't even know if it's like, I don't, it was worth their time because it's my ring. But like, I was like, guys, I feel so I can get a new one, like, I'm sorry for taking up any of your time. And the flight girls all came over, and there was like five or six, like, what the fuck are they called, stewardesses, flight attendants. They came over and they were like talking to me, gossiping to me, and they were all having their like post-flight gossip with each other. But I was there and it was fucking amazing because I got to listen. And then the pilot came over and I was so excited. Guys, I felt like I was meeting celebrities. You want to know what makes someone a celebrity to me, and this is the only thing, is when I can't attain them, okay? If someone, for example, is just out of my reach in any way, say if I message them, they won't see it because their DMs are full, or if they're on a stage and I can't physically reach them, or if they're a stewardess or whatever the fuck, and I can't get through to their real personality because they're at work. Okay, so you're a celebrity then. Because I can't reach you. You know what I mean? Anything unattainable is famous. And so that's why I get like so excited when like they reveal a little bit of their personality to me. And I'm like, I'm seeing them off the clock. Like, that's so exciting. It's even, I will go and see the worst produced show you've ever seen in your life. Like a back-end pantomime. And I'm pretty sure that the actors are famous. And if I was to see them on the street, I would be so fucking excited. Also, sometimes, okay, guys, this is literally the only English people will understand this. But like, you know, because I don't think they do pantomimes in the USA. I could be wrong. But anyways, pantomimes, okay. They're never good. They're never good. They're never high budget. I fucking love them. But I always end up with a crush on someone. I like, it's just the fact that they're unattainable again. And are they really unattainable? No. Like, literally, I could just go to the backstage door and be like, hey guys, and no one's gonna stop me. Like, they don't have security. Like, it's a pantomime. But to me, because I can't reach them because they're on a stage, I'm like, oh, if only I could speak to you, if only you were in my realm, you know what I mean, if only I could get to you, and you can never get to them. And I love that. That is why I get obsessed with people who don't text me back. I love when people don't text me back. I love it. Like, you could be someone I have no fucking interest in. In fact, I could actively dislike you. But if I send you a text and you don't get back to me, oh, yum. But anyways, let's get back to fucking Coachella. I really didn't see anything crazy. You know what I mean? Like, we really kept to ourselves because, well, I don't know anybody, as I've said about 500,000 times. I don't know anybody. So there was like the people that we were with, they knew like everybody in the bar, everybody everywhere, and they were always saying hi. So I met a bunch of people and most people were super nice, but I didn't really know anyone. Like there were maybe three people at Coachella that I have met before and that I know and that I said hi to. But like ultimately, I don't know anybody. Like I'm so fucking out of touch. And obviously I don't live in LA, so why would I know anybody? Because like it takes so many years to build up that community. But I did get to meet one of my favorite creators of all time. I was so excited when I saw her. Oh my God. Jules LeBlanc. I'm so obsessed with that girl. And I was walking somewhere and I saw her and my head whipped around so fast. Oh, so she looked so good too. I loved her outfit. I can't actually remember what she was wearing, but it was white. And her friend, Delilah, I'm pretty sure, was wearing like a kind of matching outfit. And I thought, that's fucking cute. Why didn't me and Millie match? Probably because she hates me. Also, I'm so glad that so many people loved Millie. I was reading the comments on my YouTube vlog and everyone was like, we love Millie. And I was like, yeah, bitch, me too. She's mine though, so shut up. I'm sorry, I know I'm being really agitating today because I'm so tired. Anytime I sleep on a plane, I'm still not prepared for the next day. Like, I just still am confused. How did I get here? I went to sleep in LA and I'm suddenly home and I haven't been home for like a month and a half and I'm just a little bit confused, okay? And none of my friends are here right now because they're all at fucking university, selfish bastards. And so my best friend Kat is coming home in like a couple of days. So I'll see her then. But honestly, I think I'm just like dying to talk to someone and be like, can you believe this person said this? But like, I can't say it on this podcast. You know what I mean? I can't be like, can you fucking believe she said that? I'm not going to do that here because that's not my grind. But I just want to go back to LA and be like, guys, what the fuck? Because there's like only really two things that were crazy that were said to me. And I'm just like, I need to get this one off my chest. But I don't like to talk about other people. So I'll only talk about it with people that like witnessed it. And I just want to keep saying, can you believe that? And then wait 5 seconds and then say, can you believe that? And then wait another 5 seconds. Can you fucking believe that? Like, when something interesting happens, you cannot shut me up about it. I just want to keep talking until the feeling is so drained from me that it's just, like, boring to talk about. And that takes me, like, at least 5 days of just consistently talking about something. It's ugly. It's an ugly trait, but I can't get enough. Also, guys, oh my God. So a little bit of tea from Coachella. Holy fuck, I don't know how I didn't think to tell you guys this first. So this fucking boy, oh my God, he would not get the fuck out our faces the whole time we were at Coachella. And everywhere we turned, he was there. He's some, like, TikTok boy. I didn't know him. But he's just there all the time, okay? And he's got a little friend, also a TikTok boy. Again, didn't know either of them. When I tell you they would not fuck off, I literally have pictures with them from Coachella that I won't post because I don't want anyone to know who they are because I'm about to talk some shit. But they are the most annoying boys I've ever met in my life. They weren't getting the message. One of them was hitting on my friend the whole time and she was literally being so rude to him to the point that all three of us were laughing because we're like, how have you not got the message that you're not welcome here? Like, I do not understand what's happening in your head right now. Because obviously, always try and let people down easy. We don't want to laugh at anybody. But then at some point, you just have to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? He was being so annoying. He found us all 3 days. Okay. Like, oh, where is he? And then he'd like spawn out of thin air and we'd be like, oh, there he is. Of course. And then we were stuck for the next 3 hours. Okay. He was very entertaining. That's why we didn't legit just walk away because like there's some men that like I won't tolerate. But he was like terrible. Like he was the worst person in the best way. Like he was so creative with the ways in which he was being terrible that we were like, okay, give us more. Like, what are you doing? Who are you? Anyway, he just became like a back of the mind joke to us of like, oh yeah, that fucking guy. R.I.P. A teenage girl just walked past me doing my podcast in my car. That's so embarrassing. Anyways, so then I'm scrolling on my For You page and what the fuck do I see? A video saying that two boys were squatting in this girl's house, all of Coachella, illegally squatting in her house. Why is it the two fucking boys that stalked us the entire time of Coachella?
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, I have a suggestion. Sports. When you want something, you have to act fast before the opportunity is gone. That's true for a lot of things in life, but especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You want to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. The best place to do that is ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/lonesome. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/lonesome to try it out for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/lonesome. Tap the banner to learn more. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
When I saw that video, do you know how much money I would have paid to be in a room with my friends and just have been able to switch my phone around and be like, guys? Because to know that they were harassing us at fucking Coachella and being the worst people I've ever met. One guy wouldn't stop dancing, okay? And then to know that they were doing all that and then climbing someone's fence to get into their house to squat in it every night. I've never heard anything more funny. Never. And if you guys could have seen the dance moves this guy was doing, I wish I had the room in this car to show you, but unfortunately I don't. I need like a dance room to show you what the fuck he was doing at Coachella. And it wasn't even like we were at a gig. No, we were at the bar. That's another thing. The bar at Coachella, oh my god, it's like a trap. So there's obviously all the stages, and then there's like a couple VIP bars like dotted around, and then there's like the VIP place. I don't know what it's called, but it's like, it has a bunch of food, like merch stands, like a big bar that everyone hangs out at. And it's like the place that most people kind of spend their time if you have the wristband for it. Because it's like really comfortable and there's like seating areas and it's like not crowded. Well, it's crowded, but it's not like crazy crowded. And it's just like the most nice place to be. And that's where we spent a little bit of time. And then the last day we spent 8 hours there. And all I had was White Claws. And somehow I was off my fucking face. I don't know what happened to me. White Claws get me. They really get me. I want to know what's in them, because I looked at the ingredients and it just said alcohol. Like, babe, what fucking alcohol? What have you put in this? Because it says spiked. And I'm like, yeah, I think it is. Like, I actually think you spiked this. Anyway, most of the people just stay at the bar. You know what's confusing to me about Coachella is, obviously, everyone knows, like, one of the biggest things that gets said about Coachella is the outfits, which makes sense to me. What doesn't make fucking sense to me is how that is so hyped up when this place is fucking freezing, okay? Palm Springs during the day, boiling hot. You literally have to be basically naked. During the night, do you want to know how much I spent on jackets? I spent $150 for one jacket, and I bought my friend one too, so it was like $300. And then I also bought a hoodie because one jacket wasn't enough, and I was still fucking cold the entire time. It is a desert, so it's like, it doesn't keep the heat at night. It is so fucking cold at night, like to the point you can't just enjoy yourself unless you have something on. So what are you going to do? Carry a coat around Coachella all day? Like, what are you meant to do? I don't get how people wear these tiny little outfits and they look so cute. Because also, no one really goes during the day, I've noticed. Like, obviously, like, the biggest acts are at night. Like, Doja Cat played at, like, 11. Tyler, the Creator, played at, like, 11. And then who else was headlining? I don't know. Like, there's, like, the smaller acts that everyone also likes are, like, 5 p.m., 6 p.m. Like, there is stuff going on during the day, but, like, the ones that everyone really knows start at, like, 6 p.m. At which point, it's cold. Like, I watched Sabrina Carpenter, I was cold. I watched Renee Rapp, I was cold. I watched Doja Cat, I was freezing. I actually left the Doja Cat set because I was like, I can't fucking do this. Also, my dumbass decided to wear brand new, not broken in Dior cowboy boots to Coachella. Do you know how much pain I was in? And it wasn't even fucking funny. Like, within the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, I've made a massive mistake. And then I ended up spending another like $50 on socks from one of the like Coachella shops. And that didn't help. And so basically what I did the entire night, people were actually so good to me. They gave me piggybacks everywhere. I got on Jeff's back. He's really strong. And not only is he strong, he's considerate, okay? Jeff Wittick, I believe his name is. I just met him and he gave me a piggyback halfway around Coachella, okay? We were going to Doja Cat's set and it was like a fucking 20-minute walk. He gave me a piggyback. And when we got in the crowd, okay, so considerate. He got my ankles and like pushed my feet together in front of him so that I wouldn't kick people in the crowd, which my dumbass would never have. I would have been kicking everybody because I just don't think. Like, I have no ability to like think ahead like that and be like, oh wait, I'm gonna hurt people. No, like I'll just like kick 10 people and then be like, oh, maybe I should move my feet in. Like, I'm dumb. So I'm glad that he was thinking, but people were so good to me that night. I didn't walk anywhere, and then I couldn't fit my feet in my shoes because they swelled up with the socks on. And then I had to like get this one guy, I don't know who he was, I literally was like, can you please help me and put my fucking boot on for me. And he spent like 10 minutes just trying to get my shoe on for me because I couldn't do it. And I don't, my girlies were all in little skimpy dresses. And I was like, guys, I can't have you bending down in the middle of fucking Coachella with your bum holes out. So I just got this guy to do it because he was in sweatpants. And I was like, please help, help. And everyone treated me good. They were like, you know, they made it doable with my, but my feet, I should have taken a picture of the blister I had on the back of my foot because half my heel was not even red, purple. Purple. I don't know why. One random girl gave me a compede. I appreciated that from her, but unfortunately it did nothing. It was already at the point. Like, it should have been a preventative measure. I shouldn't have let it get to the point it got to. But I did, because I'm fucking stupid, and that's the way that I like to behave in my life. I like to never think things through and just get myself hurt all the time. So I will say that I think having my friend who is not an influencer and not in the society, culture, whatever, in any way, because she is so, okay, first of all, Millie, before I did this for work, before I did any of this, Millie has always kept me grounded in my life in very special ways. Like, I've talked about Millie before. Millie's my best friend, and she is so stable, and she even said to, because I've always said this, I said, you are so, do you know how stable you are, and just how solid of a person you are? And she's always kind of been like, no, I'm not, I'm crazy. And then I think she even kind of said it to me, like, when we were at Coachella, she was like, you know, I never realized about myself really just how normal I am. And I was like, yeah, it's wonderful, babe. Like, I think because she really surrounds herself with people who are very similar to her as well. Like, I meet her friends and I'm like, I can't say a lot of the things I would normally say in this room. They just remind me sometimes that the way that I fucking behave is insane. But I surround myself with people who act like me. Which is probably why I do what I do for work. Because no, let me tell you, no one in this industry is fucking normal. And everyone knows it. Everyone says it. It's like, it's a thing, okay? Everyone's got something a little bit fucking wrong with them. Otherwise, none of us would do this. And it's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. Like, 100%, okay? And it's like 99% of people are at least a little bit fucking strange. And so I've always said to her, like, you are so wonderful in my life. Because you, even since I was 12, right? I've been making strange decisions with my life, and she's been like, what the fuck are you doing? And I need that. And having her there to observe with me the kinds of people that we were around, and just like kind of have someone to look at and be like, what the fuck, is so good. Because a lot of the time, if you're around people who are the same and are just as insane, it is, you kind of forget that it's craziness. You kind of forget where you are and that you're at Coachella with a bunch of crazies, and you may even start to feel more comfortable doing stupid shit and saying weird stuff because everyone else is doing it. And it's like, no, this is normal and healthy. And, you know, like, this, the way that people behave is normal and healthy. And this is the way that you speak to people is normal and healthy. And then having her there just being so normal, like, hi, how are you? I'm Millie. Not realizing that she's speaking to, like, fucking Justin Bieber. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, yeah, like, none of this is that deep. You know, and, like, she doesn't know who anyone is. And neither do I, but I have learned a lot recently about who people are. Because I've kind of had to. I'm not even kidding you. We took Millie to an after party. And it was, I don't even know, it wasn't a very good after party. But Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber were at some table, right? And once they came, everybody came. Like, it was suddenly full of every person you've ever seen in your life. And because it was busy, okay, in the UK, if you're at a club, okay, first of all, most of the clubs in the UK are not nice. I'm not talking the top 10 London clubs. I'm talking fucking Prism in Nottingham, okay? When you're in one of those scenarios in the UK, which most people in the UK will be at some point, if someone pushes past you, the typical thing to do is very much that, okay? I'm guilty of it. I do it all the fucking time. Not anymore, because I've learned that's not safe. But I adjusted my behavior when I started going to fancier places because I realized that I was screwing people who were billionaires, say, and millionaires, say, and perhaps potentially very famous people. And I was there like, excuse me, you didn't need to fucking push past me, okay, because that's in my blood. And then Millie's there, Justin Bieber's right behind us, some guy pushes past her, and I see her do it. She goes, I said, Millie, you can't do that. You can't do that here. That was Alabama Barker. You've just turned your nose up at Alabama. Be careful. Be nice. It's so scary. Like, you really can't, because even if you don't know who they are and you don't care or really have, like, utmost respect for them, like, you still can't be like, you need to fucking push me. You could have said excuse me. It's tempting, but you can't do it. I was like, babe, composure, composure. We don't know who these bitches are. So it was really funny to see, like, the UK university bred habits that we bring to fancy LA parties. We bring a certain vibe to the parties. Are you saying that vibe is aggression? I've had to tone mine down, but I've had a year and a half to learn to do that. And this was her first act. Stop. But it was so entertaining. And just like having her, like being able to watch her experience influences for the first time was probably top three experiences of my life in terms of how entertained I was. It was so good. Like, because I have really, like, I realized that I've really become very immune to it all. And just like, because even now, I feel like I watch more YouTubers and watch more TikTokers than I used to. Because I've never really been someone that consumes much content online. Which is, like, I have content that I consume. I was very specific growing up. Like, I liked watching, like, family vloggers. And, like, I'm not the proudest to say this online, but, like, I like Dan and Phil. Like, that was my vibe growing up. You know? Not, like, the LA content house people and, like, that kind of vibe. So I feel a lot of the time like I'm super behind and like I don't know who people are, and that's fine. But I also sometimes just feel like I would like to know more about who people are, because I feel like I'm kind of coming off like this dumb bitch at a lot of places when people are talking about someone. I'm like, who are you talking about? And it's just like not the sexiest thing that I could be doing. I want to be in the know. I feel left out. So I've been watching more content, you know? And that's just like gradually increased over the last like year and a half. I've had to stop recently because I'm like, my brain is gonna fall out of my ear if I don't stop because it's shrinking. But Millie doesn't. Millie, I don't know what she watches on her phone or like, but like she doesn't know who anyone is. Like name the biggest influencer you could fucking think of. Like think about Alex L, not a clue. Emma Chamberlain, not a clue. David Dobrik, not a clue. Like, she's so funny. And like, what do you do on your phone? Mind you, this bitch doesn't have Spotify. You understand? I don't know what Millie, I'm not entirely sure Millie is a real person. Like, I say I'm offline, this bitch is offline. Like, she has a Spotify account that she shares with her family and she just has like a playlist on it. My Spotify is almost equivalent to my notes app in terms of how much you can learn about me from it. It is in depth. It is personal. Right? I couldn't live with it. It's like actually a part of my psyche. Okay, it's part of my personality. Millie doesn't have that. She doesn't like go on TikTok. Like not once did I see this bitch just sit down on her phone and scroll. She didn't do it once. Like if she had a moment to be on her phone where we didn't have somewhere to be, she would call her boyfriend and catch up with him. Mind-blowing stuff. Probably that's why they're so healthy. She's in a healthy relationship. Isn't this, she's an alien. I love her so much. She's so interesting. And she has Instagram, but she just uses it to like keep up with her friends and stuff. Like I don't think she follows any content creators, which is why she was my top pick of person to bring to Coachella, because I was like, you just like, come on, like just come see what the fuck I'm dealing with out here, please. And it was great. You know when someone works off of a certain psyche, like a certain set of beliefs? So her belief system would just not be that anyone would ever use anyone or like want a picture with you for any certain reason or want to talk to you for any certain reason. It would just be like, oh, they're coming up to say hi because we're friends. You know, that's like how she operates. So that's what she thinks other people do. And it was really entertaining because it was like, that's how she greets people. Like she'll greet Justin Bieber the same way that she'll greet her grandma, you know what I mean? Or she'll, we didn't, by the way, I don't know why I keep saying Justin Bieber's name, I just can't think of anyone else. We didn't have an interaction with Justin Bieber once. Like, I don't know why I keep saying Justin Bieber. But like, other than like, if Billie Eilish came up to her to say hi, I think she would probably be like, oh my god, hi. But like, I don't think there was anyone that we spoke to that got a rise out of her, which is so entertaining for me, because she doesn't know who the fuck they are. And there were just a couple people that came up, maybe with a big personality, like maybe they had a little bit of a, like, and maybe potentially a bit of an ego on them. And they would talk and then they would go away. And Millie would be like, I wonder what happened in their childhood. You know what I mean? Like, it's, she's coming from such a different standpoint. Whereas I just would immediately write that off as like, oh, something's gone to their head. You know what I mean? With Millie, it's like, damn, I wonder why they would behave like that. Like, this makes no sense. Because it doesn't make any fucking sense. When you don't have that piece of context, the way that people behave makes no sense. When you don't know who they are, it makes no sense. And that's something that I realized. I was like, that's how you know this is not real. None of this is real. Coachella is not real. And also, it's nothing like I expected. Like, Coachella is not what I expected at all. It is, I was just expecting something so glamorous, I think, and like so intense. But it really wasn't. Like, the bar area is just, it's just like being in any other bar, except there's just a bunch of like influencers and celebrities in it. Like, that's the only difference. And like, it's just a bar and it's just like shops. It's not, I can't describe it to you how much it's nothing crazy. Maybe I was in the wrong places. I don't know. But I was just like, this is, the after parties were pretty cool. I will give it that. I would say that those were like where I was really like, oh, we're really somewhere cool right now. And like, really people love this and are celebrating. And like, I can see that everyone's dressed very nice and like everyone's made an effort. But at the actual Coachella, I was kind of just like, I could be anywhere right now. Which is kind of strange. Like, and I've seen videos of Coachella before, but like, I guess it's the pictures that I'm more talking about. Like, I always see pictures and it just looks like this crazy other world, but it's really not. It's really just a festival, but it was so fucking good. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I had so much fun. Like, I had so much fun meeting the people that I met. I had so much fun listening to the artists. It's a good festival and it's done so well. Like, we didn't have any like logistics issues. You know what I mean? Like, we were taken care of by guests. We had transport everywhere. We were fed, we were bathed, we were everything, you know? And we were IV'd up, even though I fucking passed out when I got my IV. I don't know why I passed out because it's so embarrassing. I think it was basically, so I was getting this IV and I'd had one the day before and I'd been absolutely fine. I didn't feel sick or anything. But that was my anxiety, was that I would feel sick or that I would feel faint. But I didn't. So the next day we book another IV and we're going. I have a fear of needles, but it's been getting so much better the past couple of years. And for some reason, I'm way more scared of needles when they're bringing something out of me, like giving blood or getting blood taken for a test. I will pass out every single time. But getting shots, I still freak out, but I don't mind so much. And it's always after the fact for me. Like, I won't shy away from you if you're giving me a shot. Like, I'll give you my arm. You can give me the shot. I'm not scared of the pain and the needle doesn't freak me out. It's the foreign body in my body that freaks me out. Like, I don't know what was in the shot and I don't know what was in the IV drip. That's where I get fucked up. But I don't like the needle either, but like, I'm not terrified of it, right? So the next day I'm like, it's fine because I've had the stuff in this IV drip already and it didn't kill me, so I'm sure I'm gonna be fine. And I wasn't super scared of the needle, I'm gonna be fine. So she gives me the injection, immediately it feels different, okay? I can feel that it's cold going into my arm and I don't like that. My whole arm is going cold and I'm like, ew, I'm so aware that it's going in my body right now. Whereas the day before I didn't have that. And then I think the way she placed the needle was slightly different. Like, I could feel that I had some, like an IV in my arm. But I was still feeling fine. I was like getting on with it. We were halfway through the drip and I was starting to like sweat a lot. And then I was talking to the nurses to try and like distract myself. And like, they were so fucking funny. We were like having a laugh. And one of the nurses was like telling me that she's an ER nurse. And she was like, yeah, like last week I cut this guy's leg off. Do you want to see? I have a video. I was like, yeah, I really do want to see that actually. So she showed me one of the surgeons sawing through the leg and it was completely open on the table. And I was like, that's fucking disgusting. But I'm not like, I don't have like a soft stomach. I was like, no, that's fine. Like, I don't mind seeing that. But like 2 minutes after she showed me the video, I passed out. And I was like, guys, why did I pass out? Like, I didn't feel like I was going to pass out. And they were like, honestly, I think it's a mixture of you knowing you have this IV in right now and seeing that video. Your body is like, I don't know what's wrong, but something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And it just like freaked out. So I knew I was going to pass out like 10 seconds before it happened because I was already like feeling shaky, but I was like, I think I'm just anxious and I just need to like shut up and ignore it. And then the IV started to make me feel really sick. And then I could like so deeply feel it in my arm. And then I said to the nurse, I think this is making me feel sick. And the second I said that, I was done for. Because it's always when I say something. Like the last time that I blacked out when I got my blood taken, and she took so much of my blood. The last time I got my blood taken, it was like 6 months ago. She took like 20 vials of my blood. Because I was getting a bunch of tests done. The last time she took my blood, I was fine. And then I got up off the table to go walk into another room because I had to get my fucking vagina examined, okay? Turns out I have an issue. I have, oh, this is another podcast episode, but I have something on my cervix. Sorry, TMI. Anyways, another time. And I was like feeling okay. And then I slightly was like, oh, things are going black. And then I was like, no, I'm going to be fine. And I sat down and I took off my jumper to try and cool down. And I was like, I think I can deal with this, but I'm just going to tell the nurse. And I said to her, I feel really faint. And just like that, it was lights out, baby. I was fucking gone. It's always once I admit defeat that I get defeated. Manifestation. I don't know what it is. I think I get scared because I've said to someone that something is wrong and I've made it real, and then my body just goes into fucking overdrive and it murders me. And it's like, we were trying to help you, but now we fucking can't because you've just admitted that something's wrong. So that's how I function. But yeah, I passed out getting an IV. It was really embarrassing. And then they, like, I thought I was fine because, like, before I passed out, like, on my way down, I said to Millie, film this. Because I'm a content creator now, okay, guys? I learned things from people at Coachella. Because I also, like, even right now, I'm sitting in my car screaming into a microphone. It's 3 p.m. People are coming back from school. People are coming back from work. They're walking up and down my street. I don't give a fuck. I think being in LA has been really good for me because I've realized, like, babe, you can either be embarrassed and not make any money, or you can fucking just be embarrassed and, like, get a little bit of money and do your job. Like, it's not, it's made it very much easier for me to be like, why do I care what anyone thinks about me filming? Like, it's just kind of drill. I don't know. It's just, like, switch my brain. And it's like, no, I actually don't really give a fuck if people see. Like, I'm still going to walk around town with my fucking camera out. But I'm, like, a little bit more comfortable now. But, yeah, point being, I said to Millie, film this as I was on my way out. And then everyone was, like, laughing. And I pulled out my own phone to, like, film myself with my head between my legs because I found it so funny. But I was so embarrassed. And then, like, after having my head between my legs for like 5 minutes, I felt better. So I like lifted my head back up and I was like, let me see if I look dead. And I pulled up my camera again to look at myself. I was so white. I've never seen myself look that. I looked literally like I was decomposing. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. So that was a bit embarrassing. And then I like tried to get up and they were like, no, you should just stay here for a couple minutes. We just want to keep an eye on you. And I was like, wow, isn't this like meant to resolve itself way quicker? Like if you pass out on, you meant to be Gucci within like, ew, I can't believe that just left my mouth. That's how you know I've seriously been in LA too long. Aren't you meant to be good within like 5 minutes? I literally looked dead for about 20 minutes. And then we sat there and waited for Millie to finish our IV drip. And then I went back to my house at the guest compound. And I slept for like 4 hours and I felt so sick. I felt so unwell. I lay down and I took like a 3 hour nap before Coachella. And I honestly was going to tell, like, I was going to say to people, like, I'm not going today. Like, I can't make it today. And they made me get up and come out because Renee Rapp was playing. Okay, I actually wish I had more tea for you guys, but unfortunately I'm antisocial and I don't have any. Well, I was so social, actually. More than I probably ever have been in my life. We stayed out pretty much every night except the first night. But the thing is, I really love Coachella so much. It's so fun. I will never go to any kind of like social event pertaining to that vibe again, though. I think one was enough for me, and I think I'll probably go next year, but then that'll be like my social event of the year. Also, I'm not drinking anymore. The thing is, I have a rule with myself that I usually keep to, that is, I don't drink around people that aren't my friends. And the only scenarios in which I ever drink alcohol is either alone in my bedroom as a little treat, or with like very, very close friends when we're in like an intimate setting. I do not drink at social events, public events, people, places where I don't know people. One, because it's fucking dangerous, and two, because I have the biggest mouth and I don't even know how I got like this. I just do, and it's so out of character for me. What is it? All I do is yap, but I yap in a polite and kind and thoughtful way. Not when I'm drunk. I just like, the thing is also, my social cues are not on point. Like I really, when I'm sober, I'm fine. But when I get drunk, like sometimes I don't say anything like mean ever, no. But it's just like, sometimes I am talking and I'm like, why am I telling this person this? Like I spill my own secrets, you know? Like when I get drunk, I spill my own secrets. And I can't stop myself. And every time I wake up with the worst anxiety, like, wait, why did I tell that person that? They have, like, the biggest mouth I've ever seen on a person. And I know this. And I knew that when I was telling them secrets. One theory that I implemented to try and get away from doing this was I basically started saying to myself at the beginning of the night when I was sober or tipsy, I'd be like, okay, what would I not be okay with telling someone when I'm drunk? What are secrets that I'm keeping tonight? And I would make my mind up. And then that way, when I'm drunk, I can't be like, would sober Madeline, actually, she should just get this off her chest and fucking tell everyone. I can be like, no, sober Madeline told me not to. She's directly decided that this was one secret that can't get out tonight. And that works for me a little bit. Like, certain things in my life that I can't tell anyone, I'm like, okay, you're not fucking saying this tonight. It's like I write Drunk Madeline a list of rules. I'm like, please fucking follow them. But if it's already at that point where I have to say that shit to myself, maybe you just shouldn't be drinking. Like, if you can't keep your big fucking mouth shut, then you're not allowed alcohol, okay? It's revoked. And so I've had to revoke it from myself again. No more alcohol for Madeline. I'm sorry. Drunk Madeline's gone for a while. And the thing is, like, I don't have that many secrets. I have so many. And they're all terrible. And I can't tell anyone. And it's just like, I get drunk. I'm like, yeah, who wants to fucking hear about it? You, stranger in the cute top, get over here. And then she's trapped. Yeah. And that's how it goes for me. And I'm like, babe, you don't know who you're fucking talking to. Fucking hello. You know who you're fucking talking to right now. Like, this could be, I don't know, TMZ. This could be, name another person. I can't. Like, this could be anybody. Like, this could be someone that's known for, like, having a podcast and talking shit on people. Like, you don't know who you're talking to. And also, you don't know who's listening. Because you might not even be talking to them. They might be listening. The thing is, you should never tell anyone your secrets. Because if you can't even keep it a secret, which you can't because you're fucking telling someone, then why the fuck would you think that they could? Okay, especially if it's juicy. Okay? And I need to shut the fuck up way more often. And unfortunately, I just can't do that when I'm drunk. And I don't mind telling my friends things, even if it's something I wouldn't tell them sober. I'm like, fuck it, I'll tell you drunk. I don't care. Like, I really don't. Like, my friends, I trust them and whatever. Like, I don't care. But it's like when we're in like a group of people and there's a couple people that I don't know and I'm still yapping, that's when you need to stop drinking, babe. But hey, we live and we learn, I guess. The thing is, I don't live and I learn. I live and I learn and I regret and then I do it again. Because, like, I fully have learned my lesson 100 times, but it doesn't matter. Like, it goes out the window. When someone presents me with a glass of crispy white wine, I'm like, ooh, you guys want to hear about my relationship? I'm kidding. I'm actually not. No, I am. No, I'm not. Yeah, I am. The UK doesn't have any good fucking fast food. We don't have In-N-Out, and we don't have Raising Cane's. So what is the point of being here? Okay? And the sky is grey. Okay? I don't get it. I don't get it. And also, like, I thought spring may have sprung by the time I got home. No, well, I was fucking wrong. Because the one thing I hate about winter in the UK is when the trees get naked. Okay, I fucking hate a naked tree because it looks cold. Okay, naked trees look miserable and I hate it because even if you're in a good mood, you wake up in a good mood, even if the sun is shining, you wake up, you look outside, oh, it still looks freezing and everything looks skinny and miserable. I like when trees are fat and healthy. Why did I just spit healthy? Disgusting. I don't know what to eat for dinner. I was thinking I'm gonna make a big bowl of pasta with cheese, but for some reason the idea of that is making me feel really sick. I don't know what I want. I don't want anything, but my stomach is grumbling. I hate that feeling because it's like wasted hunger. You know, for me, one of the top 10 feelings in life is hunger. I put it next to sex. Like, when I'm really hungry and then I get a bite of food, that is next to sex for me. Like, good sex. Not even just, like, bad sex. Like, good sex. The other thing would be taking a poop. And then the other thing would be, like, peeing in the morning. I love that. I love peeing. Because I just feel like, I'm washing away something. And then I'm a new woman. And it's so tactical. Like, it's so, like, efficient. Like, my body's just on a process now. I'm dumping it out. And then I get to go about my life. Like, yes, my body's working. And, like, yes, I just, like, exploded. Excuse me, no. I just, like, left something and now I can go about my day with, like, so efficient. Like, yes, I peed and it was quick and now I'm ready to continue, you know? And I love pooping because, especially at university when I was really stressed and I had deadlines and I, like, couldn't take any time off without feeling like an immense soul-crushing amount of guilt, I always had my poopies, you know? Because when you need to poop, what are you gonna do, not poop? Like, no, you have to. And it's like, I always wanted someone to, like, force me to take time off during university. Still now, like, I would just love, like, I take time off all the time, but I'm still, and I barely fucking work a job, like, hello. But I just would wish someone would come up to me sometimes and be like, I'm not gonna let you even think about anything for the next hour. So that I could take time off without feeling stressed or guilty, you know? And, like, I have things to do, but I'm not doing them kind of vibe. I hate that feeling. I just wish someone would come and be like, okay, for the next hour, I'm not letting you do anything. That is what pooping is like to me. Because I'm like, what am I going to do? Not poop? No, I have to do this shit right now. And, like, I always reward myself with, like, TV time when I'm on the toilet. Like, I'm going to scroll on TikTok or I'm going to watch a YouTube video. Like, I'm not just going to sit there and not do any, like, I'm not going to do my work on the toilet unless I'm, like, on a serious crunch. Okay, my poopy time is for me. I earned it. Thanks for watching this week's episode of Pretty Lonesome, guys. I love you so much. And I had so much fun at Coachella. And I will be going back next year if I'm allowed back, if I'm invited, which I hope I will be. I really had so much fun. I love it. All negative things included. Every bad thing I've said about Coachella, every complaint I've made, be not mistaken, okay? It only adds to my experience. I was thriving. And I am happy to be home, but I am hopefully going to be back in LA in a month and a half. So for everyone that's saying, we need more of you and Brooke, we need more Brooke content, don't worry, bitch. I'm not done with her yet. She's not getting out of me that easy. Away from me? Out of me? I don't know. Anyways, I'm going to make a big fat bowl of pesto pasta and probably fall asleep early. Okay, I love you guys. Thanks for watching. Bye.